Well, it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes. Jason, we weren't here last week. The live listeners probably thought we were.
Right.
Or they thought, I feel like they've talked about that before. Because we played what we would call a best of show.
Right. Again, we often say, we tell producer Dave to pull a best of.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He kind of looks at us with a bewildered, face as to say, which one would that be?
And I think what he does after that is he just goes, whatever.
I'm just going to
pull something.
Yeah.
They're all equally bad.
Shouts down the hall and says, someone shout out a number, and he just chooses one.
Yeah, it'll work. And so.
So how was DC?
DC was great, man. I went to Washington for the March for Life, and I don't know if, I've read some reports. The president did speak. So some media outlets who typically do not cover the March for Life had to cover it because the president spoke. I would say I read one article that said an estimated 100,000. Look, I've been to Neyland.
Yeah.
This made Neyland look like a high school football game.
Really?
I would say 500,000. I mean, there were people everywhere.
Yeah.
Huge group, tons of young people. I would say at least half were high school, college age kids.
Wow.
Tons of security because the president spoke.
Sure.
So, my dad doesn't travel. He stays in Cornersville. That's where he's at. That's where he's going to be forever. And, he was like, oh, I heard the president speaking. Make sure you get a picture with him.
Like
as if that is a
like
normal,
he's walking around giving selfies.
Sure. I'll just, so after the march, he called me and said, did you get a picture with
him? The president or your dad?
My dad.
Okay. Got it.
He's like, did you get a picture with him? And I was like, well, no, I didn't because, there was a lot of people there and he has some security around him being the president and all.
Right.
But no, it was a great time. And
how close were you actually to the president?
I wasn't.
I mean, like
football field.
Okay.
Bunch
yeah.
of football fields.
Okay. Got it.
Distance. because they had normally at the March for Life rally, if you get there early, you can get it front of the stage. But even if you don't get there early, you can kind of pile in, from wherever. Because the president spoke, they put in portable security.
Yeah.
And so if you got there, we had something going on in the morning so we couldn't get there early. So if you didn't get there early, they already let all they were going to let through security.
Got
it. So we were even further back. We were past the security.
Got it.
But it was, you could hear.
So basically like right next to him, you were.
Sure.
I'm hearing
yes.
you say you were.
Yeah.
Right next
and
to
it
him.
Was, we were able to see Marine One, flying over the city a couple times and just the, if you're a history buff, like Washington is, we took a tour of the Capitol and they were showing us, where there were some bullet holes in some of the columns.
Right.
It's just a really, really neat place.
Has all of your family remained healthy? This is big news here in Knox County.
Yeah, Knox County's
are
closing
out for the next
this week. Yeah,
yeah, the remaining part of this
week,
and then your children's school have been out for a few
days.
Yeah,
my children's school they closed until Monday through Wednesday of this week, and then so summer on Friday, I'm in D.C. and I get an email from the teacher that says, "Hey, Summer wasn't herself today, not feeling great," and so I called home. I was like, "What's going on?" And her throat was sore. She's better now. She's good. She ran a fever for a day or two, but seems to be fine. But none of the other kids have, with the way things probably will happen is they'll go back to school and then
That's,
other kids will get
that
sick.
That is traditionally the way it works for us.
Yeah.
Is they sit around the house, completely healthy, trying to figure out what to do. And of course, Carrie and I both are working and we have things we're trying to balance and all that other stuff. And then, one of two things will happen. Either it will snow next week.
Right.
And so then they'll be back home or, and we love our kids being home. Let me be very clear, especially when it comes to not having to get out the door quite so early.
Right.
But, there is a time that they need to be educated, even beyond the home. And so, it will either snow or indeed they will get sick, once school, comes back. My oldest son is at CAK. They actually got out a couple of weeks ago, and so they were on the front end of some of this stomach stuff.
So they're in school
now. And just flu and everything else, so they're in school. So
okay.
When did you fly back?
Flew back on Saturday.
Okay, so I was going to ask if you were home for what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, I was home this weekend, and, got back Saturday evening, kind of just sat and cuddled with Summer pretty much the entire night because she didn't feel well. Yeah, and then the news came out on Sunday. What was it? Sunday afternoon, I guess, is when we found out that Twitter started really popping and social media outlets that Kobe Bryant passed away in a helicopter crash.
Right.
And then originally ABC News reported that every one of his daughters was on the flight as well. We had some reports that Rick Fox, another great Laker, was on the flight as well. And so I'm just, you know, for me, I grew up watching Kobe. I grew up watching Rick Fox. I wasn't a huge Lakers fan, but I did have Kobe shoes. Like, I loved watching him play ball. And then as a dad trying to figure out, wow, what's that? What is going on? And texting my brothers and trying to figure out, because news reports just weren't making sense.
Right.
And then they finally announced that yes, Kobe and one of his daughters, did in fact die in the plane, in the helicopter crash. And Kobe flew he didn't fly it. He wasn't the pilot, but he's been using helicopters for the means of transportation in California for a long time. And he said the reason was so he could spend time with his family. Traffic in California is terrible. He could get to this arena quickly, do his workouts, get back in time to get in the car line to pick up his kids. And just heartbreaking what happened over the weekend.
Yeah, I was laying on the couch. It had been, of course, a full Sunday morning with three worship gatherings for us, Shoreline. And then I kind of veg when I can on Sunday afternoons, especially more during those winter months when it doesn't include then, you know, Sunday afternoon ball games and things of that sort. And so we were kind of vegged out a little bit watching a great cinematic classic, Jumanji.
Mm. The new one, actually.
Okay. And it was average at best.
I
had not seen it. And so anyways, we're just kind of hanging out and kind of all of us are just lounging around.
Yeah.
And as you know, I am off Twitter, and off Facebook. But I did hop on, just kind of check some scores on ESPN, and it had this thing. And I was like, I literally said it aloud, like, what in the world? And then Carrie immediately thought, you know, something's happened.
Same.
To someone
I said it out loud too.
In our church or someone in our family. And I will be clear to say that today we are going to talk about Kobe Bryant.
Sure.
But I think we're probably more going to talk, not in the sense of we were longtime friends of Kobe's. Obviously, we were not. Nor are we great historians of Kobe's life.
Right.
Nor are we necessarily overly adept when it comes to some of the things that that maybe even plagued him in the past or some potentially missteps that he made earlier in his life. Today, we really want to talk more about kind of when things like this happen, what it is an indication of in our society, meaning the way that we responded and the grief that our nation is experiencing and how you're hearing from people from really every corner of the world talking about Kobe Bryant and what was it and why do we respond in the way that we do and just even the realities of death and how this is one of those things that is true for each and every one of us. And yet we often kind of dismiss that. And so for me personally, I was trying to think of any type of celebrity death that had impacted me the most or maybe I should say more than Kobe's death. And I'm not sure that there would have necessarily been one. As we talked even off air, you know, Michael Jackson, again, with his own, you know, unique nuances and everything else. It was just this massive figure.
Yeah.
I think of a couple of our presidents that have passed, you know, and then to the extent of beyond that, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I
would say in terms of the shock of it.
Right. And that's the point,
so
especially
the shock of it. Yeah.
It's not been shocking.
It's like, I would say Dale Earnhardt, I mean, dying in a race. You know, I remember I was at church that night. We hadn't watched the entire race we've never been huge NASCAR fans, but everybody knew Dale Earnhardt.
Ever been to a NASCAR race?
I have not.
Oh,
no.
I'm sure it's awesome. Fun, yeah.
And so not everybody's NASCAR fan. Everybody knew Dale Earnhardt.
Right.
I mean, the Intimidator, everybody
just kind
knew
of
him.
Transcended culture.
And so for him to be young and what seemed like a normal crash, nothing crazy. The car didn't flip over a ton of times or anything like that. That was quite the shock to know that he had a son, Dell Jr., to know that he had other family. And so I think that's the closest to, oh wow. And there wasn't like drug use. There wasn't, they didn't take their own lives.
It didn't feel
those
like
it had
been
that.
Like, hey, this guy's just been making terrible decisions.
Yeah.
And we've seen the writing on the wall on this for the last 10 years.
Yeah, which we have seen that,
sure.
In celebrities as well. I think this was just shocking. Kobe was, Dale Earnhardt was getting ready to retire. Kobe was in the next stage of his life, focusing on being a dad. He won an Oscar. He was really trying to reinvent.
Doing a ton of stuff.
What
women's
he was doing.
Basketball.
Yeah, just doing great stuff.
A lot of philanthropy.
And so for me, that was the hardest part of, wow, this is a guy that I grew up watching, and from the first day he played in the NBA to the day he retired. And then, like, even Shaquille O'Neal last night was talking and was sobbing. And he said, I got to do better. I was close with Kobe. And
right.
Our families were close, but I haven't talked to him in years. And he said, it's not just Kobe. It's everybody in my life.
Yep.
He
talked about how hard he works and how it's just, you just kind of take it for granted.
And he said, all the basketball greats that my dad told me about are around. He said, I got to meet him. He said, now this is a basketball great that's no longer around, and a dad, and so I think that's the hard part. And I know people are going to hear this and they're like, well, there's eight other people that died on that helicopter outside of Kobe, and absolutely,
and every one of those are image bearers.
Yeah,
every one of those folks, their life is valuable. We're not doing anything to diminish them.
Right.
We're just speaking specifically about this one that for whatever reason had this larger platform.
But Mark Cuban tweeted out. Mark Cuban's the owner of the Mavericks. And he tweeted out, it's interesting right now, our entire country, people, Republicans, Democrats, from every walk of life, this has brought us together, sharing stories, what watching him play meant to us, what, people that were in his life, what that meant. And even Mark Cuban, a secular guy, is saying, we need to learn from this.
Right.
That we can come together on certain things. And mourn together as a country, and even, there's some worldwide impact with the loss of Kobe.
Yeah, and he had Italian upbringing and some of that stuff.
Fluent in many languages.
Right.
I mean, it's just a tragic event. But the interesting thing is, whether you're a Christian or not, the shock of it.
Right.
The shock of it's been, has hit everybody, but and you look at that and you go, well, all of us know there's a day coming.
Correct.
Where we will take our last breath. Every single one of us. None
Correct.
Of us are exempt from that. But when this happens, it's like it brings that to the surface. We kind of bury that and we don't talk about it, and no one wants to talk about it. If you bring up, planning your funeral or anything, everybody's like, stop talking about that. But when something like this happens, it forces us to deal with the reality that we are getting older. Or there could be an accident, or there could be some kind of tragic event, and your life is no longer on this earth. And I think what we've seen over the last few days is people wrestling with that and not really knowing, especially from a non-believer standpoint. I think even from gospel people, I think sometimes struggling with, well, how do you deal with this?
Right. Well, there are not a ton of moments in our life, and certainly I would say there are some, whether it be a diagnosis or it be a job loss or it be, some other circumstance, but there doesn't seem to be as many moments where there is such an abrupt change in your life as is in a moment like when death occurs, and so, for many, I don't think it's even so much just the reality that death will set in on us at some point. And, this is the result of, our fallenness. Eventually, we're going to die. However, I think there's also the idea that things that have always seemed like a staple, like Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
I mean, he came on the scene when he and I are about the same age. I mean, I think 17 years of age when I was when I started hearing about Kobe
Bryant.
That's
right. He was 17 when he got in the league.
Yeah, and so I was 17, and now I am 42. And you're like, man, this guy that has kind of been on the scene for so long is no longer. And that's really humbling for us.
Yeah, we'll talk more when we come back. So today's conversation's a little bit, it's not a fun conversation, I don't think. I think I grew up in a family, where funeral homes were normal. It's weird. You know, we talked I think a couple weeks ago, and I said that Freebird by Skynyrd was a staple.
I'm still pretty,
kind of
befuddled by that.
But also I have number of family members that work in the funeral business. Right. I have my uncle actually was working at the funeral home that dealt with Elvis's body.
Wow.
So that's a claim to fame, I guess. And so if you watch some of the old videos, you'll see my uncle driving the limo that carried Priscilla. He also kind of guarded the casket inside Graceland.
Crazy.
And so all that to say that Elvis is in fact dead. And so funeral discussion and funeral homes were just normal for us. My mom worked at a funeral home.
The idea of death.
Yeah, it was just kind of a conversation. Probably brought on a lot of my anxiety growing up as a little kid, hearing about it a lot and seeing it a lot. But
I didn't want to diagnose it all right now.
Yeah,
on air, but this certainly explains quite a bit.
It definitely had an effect. And so as we look at this, one thing that I kept going back to on Sunday when the news finally figured out what they were going to say.
And about that?
I mean, it was just a mess.
Talk about the Rick Fox.
Rick Fox spoke last night and there were reports saying that Rick Fox was on the helicopter, which makes sense. He was a former Laker, close with Kobe. I'm sure he's flown on that helicopter many times.
Yeah, probably dozens.
And so they reported that he was on the helicopter. He spoke last night and he said, you know, when I heard the news of Kobe, I called my kids. He said, my daughter has a fear of finding out that one of her parents is dead through social media before she's actually notified by officials, which is just crazy that that's a fear of a celebrity's child.
Isn't he married to Vanessa something?
Yeah, another celebrity.
I can't remember her former maiden name.
So he was talking to them about the whole thing. And he said his phone was blowing up and he thought, well, I'm not going to answer these phone calls. I'm spending time with my children and that's what I want to do right now. And he said his best friend just kept calling and kept calling and kept calling. And he finally answered the phone and his best friend was sobbing. And he said he started crying and he said, you know, it's just crazy, the news about Kobe. And his best friend just interrupted him and said, you're alive.
Wow.
And Rick Fox was like, yeah, I'm alive.
Imagine reading the text come to him.
Yeah, no telling.
Like during that, I mean, there's probably a range of things, you know.
And so he finds out, oh, there's reports that I'm dead.
Right.
And so his mom and his sister had been calling trying to get a hold of him because they had heard a news story that he was on the helicopter. I mean, the media handled this terribly in the beginning.
It was atrocious.
TMZ alerted everybody to the news before the sheriff's office could even notify Vanessa, Kobe's wife, before they could notify any family members of anyone on the helicopter. And so, but all I could think about on Sunday, being a dad to four kids, three daughters, and Kobe was a proud girl dad is what the hashtag going around on Twitter right now. He's a proud dad of girls. All I could think about is you spend your life as a dad telling your children, I'm going to protect you. I wouldn't let anything happen to you. Now, I don't know how the crash occurred. I don't know if it was quick. I don't know if there was a moment of if everybody on the helicopter knew they were going down. Yeah. But all I could think about was looking in your child's eye. And in that moment saying,
you can't protect
there's them. Nothing I can do. Yep. And hugging your child and weeping and watching other moms and dads do the same thing on the helicopter. And that was the crushing part for me. It's not that a great basketball player is no longer with us. It was that moment.
Yeah, and we're not minimizing those things, but there's some things that stand out to us.
But it's the knowing in that moment as a dad holding your little girl.
Yep.
This is it.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I just could not get out of my head over the weekend.
And I've actually thought a little bit about this because, you know, Kobe was, again, I would say I'm kind of a sports junkie. I love listening to sports radio. I love watching sports. I loved playing sports. I'd love coaching sports still today. And basketball was one of the sports that I've always really enjoyed. And so I wouldn't say that I was ever a huge necessarily Kobe fan, but I had this massive amount of like respect for him as a player.
Yeah.
You know, like again, that you hear about the Mamba mentality and his kind of like Killer Instinct and how he just went 110%, if not more than that, every moment, every play. And you see the pictures of him like in like hospital pants and his cast on his hand, still out shooting free throws. I mean, there's those stories. And yet the world is mourning right now, and not all of those people were basketball fans. Yep. And so I've actually wondered, like, what was it? In fact, a lot of people who are mourning today defiantly cheered against Kobe.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because they were cheering for
him. They hated the Lakers.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever it may be. And he blew their team up for 65 points or whatever.
81 points.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it's really interesting that there's this massive amount of people that are mourning Kobe, whether they actually had any appreciation for his basketball skills or not. And I've wondered why that is. And I do believe that there are a couple of dynamics to it. One, I think that you've seen the evolution of a man. Mm-hmm. And again, we will not go and unpack all the things that that are pretty well documented about some mistakes that he made early in his adulthood. And you know, I think we can in no fashion give a pass to those things. However, there is also the reality that you're talking about a kid that got thrown into the spotlight really, really quick. But to watch this almost redemption story, or to see an evolution of someone as a person, is really endearing. And to see somebody who is choosing to do more with their life than simply just kind of rest on their laurels, I think that's inspirational to a lot of people. I loved what he was doing with the WNBA, and not even just the WNBA, because honestly, I'm not some big, huge WNBA follower or junkie, but the way he was investing into college athletes, into high school athletes, and maybe most notable of you, as you said, just what really appears. Again, we don't know, but every indication is that he had become just this incredible family man who just poured into his children, had poured into his family, poured into his spouse. And so I think that's part of the reason, don't you think? I mean, it has to be more than just a lot of people watched him play basketball on SportsCenter.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's also a reality check. Oh, he was 41 in amazing health. Looked like he could still play.
Right. And the guy also, he had charisma beyond charisma.
I mean,
charisma.
I think
speak multiple languages.
Yeah.
Had the looks of a model.
Yeah. I think this has been a reality check. Like, I think a lot of people are going, oh, wow, at any moment, the celebrities that we hold in such high esteem.
Right.
Can be gone.
Really interesting. That's a really interesting take, because I do agree that almost to a certain extent, we've almost not maybe even just idolized, but it almost feels like at times we make them Superman. Like
no doubt,
they're invincible.
Last night when Shaq was talking, he was sobbing.
Right.
And somebody tweeted out, "This is like watching Superman cry."
Right.
That's what we've done to these guys.
Correct.
we have put them into a place where they almost to the point of immortal, like they can't die.
Right.
And so when we hear the news, you're like, well, no, there's no way that happened to Kobe. Right.
Well, and we think about it for 1,000 reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, we think about it. Well, I mean, they've got, you know, this helicopter he was flying wasn't like the little Magnum PI helicopter.
And 9 people fit in it. So a giant helicopter.
I mean, it's basically military grade type helicopter. I mean, it is a massive machine. So you're thinking he's got the best means of transportation. He's got, you know, he wasn't dealing with a 21-year-old.
No, great pilot.
We were joking about your flights coming back.
Yeah, they looked like they were in high school.
Correct. And you said one of them was literally playing a video game.
The whole time.
Not the pilot who was flying the plane, but a pilot that was
just
on the plane, but was literally playing video games. That's not who was flying Kobe Bryant around. We again think of all the luxuries. We think of his health. We think of he's got dietitians, and we think he's got, you know, his own personal training facilities and all this other stuff. So again, it feels invincible to a degree. And it's where in these moments we're reminded that no, ultimately at the end of the day, we are all fleeting and this life is but a vapor.
And so when we come back, let's look at from a Christian standpoint, how do we respond in these moments? How do we look at this? What does death mean to us? And we'll talk about that when we come back. So today, as we talk about the news over the weekend, that I think it's one of those things where when we discuss, hey, what are we going to talk about on this week's show? This was one of those things that you just kind of have to. You can't not address what happened in California over the weekend.
So you mentioned that you had some Kobe shoes somewhere.
I did. You know, and here's the thing, because you know, when you're a middle schooler, you're not thinking for long term.
No, of course.
And so I had his first ones, the black and white Adidas, which were my favorite ones of his.
Yep.
And I'm sure they just got thrown away when I got too, my foot got too big. And
went and mowed at them for a season.
And in that moment of time, your foot's growing so much, they had very little wear.
Oh, yeah.
And so I look back and I remember a couple years ago, I was like, maybe, just maybe they're at my dad's house somewhere. They're not.
No.
And man, if I had them today.
I don't think I ever owned a pair of Kobe shoes.
That was the only pair I owned.
You see where Nike, there's been kind of mixed reports. Did they pull everything initially or did they just all sell out? But basically, if you go and try to buy anything from Nike that's Kobe related right now, it is impossible.
Yeah,
like, and again, there's mixed reports if that's why that has happened.
I would assume they probably sold out.
There was some initial speculation they had pulled it in order to try to figure out how they should handle the situation, and but then there was a differing report that just said no, they just sold out.
Well, it would seem odd that Nike, who's in the business of making money, would take them off the market.
I did hear though this morning that I believe there is the next Kobe shoe was already scheduled to release within just like 10 days from now.
Wow.
I think February 4th, no, maybe less than that. So February 4th, February 5th, something like that. And so they're now trying to determine, does this make sense? Is it appropriate? Yeah. Is it not appropriate? So.
Well,
here's
before we go further, here's my prediction.
Give
the Lakers are already leading in the West. I think the Lakers win the national championship. I think the Lakers win the championship this year. I think this is going to be the story. And I think LeBron, is going to
go off,
get the Lakers to a place of, look, this is ours this year. Golden State's down this year. Who's going to compete with LeBron going to that next level?
Yeah.
And Anthony Davis. I mean, I just think that I think the Lakers win it all this year, the year that Kobe
hot take. That's a hot take right there.
Mark it down.
So again, today the goal has not been to necessarily pay tribute, and I'm not to imply that that's not appropriate.
Sure.
And worthy, use of someone's time. I would say rather, I think today we've just really been trying to reflect on the realities that have arisen, that we just see these things that have come up. And so whether it be death, whether it be kind of the fleeting nature of life, whether it be, that no one is invincible, whether it be the value and kind of the legacy of parenthood, I think there's a ton of principles that we could draw out of it. What else do you think that as the Christ follower, because the majority of our listeners today are indeed believers, what do you think is the lesson that we draw out of it?
Well, I'll say just personally for me, I just even know when I saw that on Sunday, and I'm thinking of him as a dad, I immediately thought, I need to show more grace to my kids. I need to shift some things around in my life so that I'm not just giving lip service and saying that my family's a priority, but you can, like, it's actual.
Yeah.
It's a truth.
Yep.
That my kids will see that I can really see that others will see that. Because we spend a lot of time trying to chase that dollar. We spend a lot of time trying to climb the ladder. Look, nothing's wrong with those things.
Right.
But we have to, I think there's moments, and at least for me, there's moments I'm in my mid thirties and I'm going, I got tons of life left.
Yeah. You're mid thirties going on 57, but you're doing great.
Maybe
doing
70. but I think there's moments of where we go, look, I got tons of years left.
Yep.
I'm going to spend the time right now trying to make sure everything's secure. Then I'll focus on these other things. And what Sunday showed us and what a lot of, just real life shows us is maybe you have a lot of years left, maybe not. And so I think for me, as the biggest takeaway for me through this has been, what am I doing as a dad to make sure I'm maximizing those moments?
Yeah. There's been a lot written and a lot said, not just even immediately after Kobe's passing, but really even in this transition from him being a player to into kind of the next stage of his life, about how that mentality that he was so well known for really did transcend seasons of his life, meaning kind of that intentionality, the effort, the purpose that he always put into his game was something that was then transferred into his career, to his philanthropy, to his parenting. And I think that's one thing that I would probably, for me, glean out of it. You know, just like really being super intentional, like being certainly, I want to be in the moment. I want to be reactive in ways that only the Holy Spirit can guide us in. And that's one of those things that we abide in Christ, that John 15 concept, he's abiding in us. And so we hopefully do react in ways that are really honoring unto the Father when anything happens, when any circumstance happens, when our children don't behave, when we have a conflict with our spouse, when something with our employment goes wrong, when a friend hurts us. I hope that we react well, but I will say maybe something that I have been reminded of is just the need for some real proactivity and really like intentionality to, hey, these are things that will impact people. These are things that will leave a legacy even beyond just my circle of three or four or five within my family. And so I think that's healthy. I think it's exalting to the fathers that, you know, he tells us to live a life worthy of the calling we've received. We see that in scripture, and our calling is one that's pretty great. And so to be really, really thoughtful about our life and reflective of it, I think is significant. I would be very curious to know, you know, how much other involvement there was of anyone else in Kobe's life when it came to things like pushing the game forward, you know, pushing the women's game forward, pushing youth sports forward, you know, doing what he did to be such a celebrated father. Like, I would be curious to know if there was anyone else that was out there saying, hey, this would be a good career move. I really hope that's not the case.
Right.
I hope it was really like, man, these are just things that I've sensed are right and are good and are noble. And so I'm going to put the same intentionality that I put into being if not the greatest basketball player on the planet for a season, into doing those things well. And I think that's a lesson learned for me.
Yeah, I think it's just a, you know, as we look at the reality, and that's what's been interesting on social media is the, I mean, people that I follow that are more political oriented, people that I follow that are more just, they get on social media to make jokes and laugh at people. It doesn't matter. Like all of them were coming together and were sharing a story of why this impacted them. I've seen dad after dad after dad post, I can't get out of my mind thinking about holding my child while the helicopter's going down. And so I think all of us have this wrestling.
I have a 13-year-old son. Same age.
And so I think all of us have this wrestling match of kind of a wake-up call to, oh, what are we doing with these moments?
Right.
And that's not just with our family, but it's also with what are we doing with the gospel message that we have? Mm-hmm. Are we prepared? So for some of us, I think we hear this news and we go, there's people around our world that are going, is there an afterlife? Like what happens when we take our last breath?
That's a great point.
And so now we're wrestling with this of what happens.
Yeah.
I want to say he's in a better place. Is he in a better, is there a better place?
Right.
And so I think these moments allow for conversations about gospel things. And are we seeing those as moments of conversations about gospel?
Yeah, I think that's really, really good. We want to do this tactfully. You know, you always have to have discernment in that. But I do believe in moments like this, as you said, it creates an awareness of the fragility of our life, and it does create some questions and discussions that other times people might not have. I tell you what else is really, and you referenced to Mark Cuban, and the Lakers and the Mavs had some battles.
Yeah,
over
I'm sure
the
there
years.
Was moments where Mark Cuban did not like Kobe.
Absolutely, yeah. And you talk about even Mark Cuban, who's this entrepreneur and businessman, and I would say in some ways is more conservative than some of his peers and things of the sort. But him to comment about how it's all brought us together. And here's an interesting dynamic. I guarantee you there are all kinds of people that said really, really terrible things about Kobe Bryant over the years that are now thinking, I wish I hadn't said that.
Yep.
And so I think that's a piece for us, too, is to think, you know, what do we – What are we really doing and how we interact with people, and do we want to ever have regrets, and do we want to feel like we were life-giving, or do we want to feel like we spent our life tearing other people down? And I'm not talking about, you know, friendly rivalries and hoping that he misses the big three, you know, like, no, I think again, it is just a something that we have to consider. That our words matter, even in light of, as you talked about, the social media madness that was happening on Sunday afternoon. Words matter. Oh, man, there's a lot of lessons to learn.
Yeah, for sure. We'll be back. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I gotta know. So, Jason, as we finish up today, I feel like I haven't been at Shoreline Church. I haven't been at church in over a month.
It feels like maybe you've left the church.
My family's still going.
No, I'm just joking.
But it is weird. You know, January and February is always strange because I'm, it's rewarding and it's fun because I get to go to a lot of different churches and speak, but it's strange not going to my home church. And so what's going on at Shoreline? I haven't been there in 5 weeks. I'm not going to be there this Sunday either. So, what's happening?
Did you build another building?
We're
actually not allowed to share that with you. you've actually been excommunicated.
Okay, wow.
Excommunicated. Yeah. I don't know if that, we're actually in the middle of a series called Story, which is really fun. And, you know, we take some pretty big walks through big chunks of scripture. In fact, we're going to be spending 25 plus weeks in Romans. We'll split it up throughout the year some, in 2020. But right now we're just doing a quick kind of 5 week series on our story that God's, entrusted us with. We would say ultimately it connects to, the larger story of God and trying to figure out how we reconcile things like where God placed us on this planet and who the people were around and how we're supposed to steward that or what era we live in and how we're supposed to pass the gospel on to the next generation. And last Sunday we talked about really what even the thought of if you're part of your story is that you're a Christ follower, like what does it really mean that you are a child in the family of God? Like that's interesting pieces. This Sunday we're going to talk a bit about for some, their story has things to do with healing and recovery. Mm-hmm. And so it's been really cool because we've not just been teaching, you know, the scriptures in it. We've also been sharing actual stories of our body. And so just kind of giving the voice back to our congregation, allowing them to share so much as to what God has done in them and elevating certain stories that we think really kind of points towards the principles we're talking about that day. So that's been really, really sweet. Of course, it's the beginning of a new year. And so we're thankful that, there's a lot of people that are around and we're just really trying to disciple folks and to get them connected. We know that the longer someone comes and visits and just doesn't get connected, the greater likelihood is that they eventually walk away or whether intentionally or not, just kind of don't remain. And so we're working hard. Trying to get people in life groups, get them connected to a mentor, get them connected to one of our staff members. So it's fun, man. We're grateful.
And so if somebody listening
lost a guy that we've been hoping that
he would leave.
So
it's really worked out. So if somebody is interested in coming and being a part, what time is the services?
Yeah, that's a great
question. I forgot. It's been a long time.
I know. Well, it's funny. We kind of always say that there's nothing sacred. No, there are no sacred things at Shoreline with the exception of the gospel.
Right.
Meaning, and what I mean in that is that anything can be changed,
sure.
You know, but, But we say that more in light of things like service times, because we're constantly tweaking it, trying to accommodate growth. And so I believe, no, we are at 8:15, we're at 9:30, and at 11 o'clock, we would love, 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 love for you to visit us. Any one of those three services, we usually at 8:15, if you're an early riser, are now providing a little bit of kind of a breakfast.
Come on.
Some special
coffee. A little incentive to get to the early service.
Helps us distribute the crowd. ShorelineKnox.com gives you all the information. You can even go and watch one of our services online, or at least the sermon part of it, if you say, I'd like to just know a little bit more in advance.
Well, that, and two, if you listen to this show today and you're like, man, I really just need more of that.
Which is not happening.
You can find that over at Shoreline's website.
Yes,
you can also find it at TuneIn app. You can find it Google Play. You can find it on iTunes, the podcast. Wherever podcasts are found, you can find this show. It's called Between Sundays. And you're probably wondering, why do they call it Between Sundays? And it's because we record it on Wednesdays.
Which is?
Right between Sundays.
I would say it's one of the more creative names.
I mean, it was when we first met and we were like, what should we call it? And then you were like, well, we already have an email called Between Sundays. I was like, I don't know if we can come up with anything better than that, except for maybe the Jason and Andrew Hour.
Right.
And which is a great name.
Yes.
Or Andrew and Jason Hour, whoever's name. I'm a servant leader, so I'll let your name go
thank
first.
Thank you.
I'm super humble about that. I don't know if you know that.
You're the most humble person.
And so as we, so if you want to hear the show, we've talked about a number of things. And another reason why it's called Between Sundays is how is the Christian to operate in between the Sundays? So outside of the church walls.
I would just mention this one final thing before we go. We would be more than happy to hear from you guys. And maybe even most notably, we'd love to hear from you related to things that you'd like to hear discussed. You know, we are certainly looking at the news, and today we're talking about things that have arisen, but there are also certain things that are constant elements within our culture. Issues that you're wondering, where do we stand as a Christ follower? You know, and so by all means, feel free to reach out to us. You can do that through my website at shorelineknox.com. Our church, you can also go to
through investinghope.com.
You can find out ways to connect with us. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next week.